Parak Beis Pasuk Yud Dalit. Rani v'simchi basion. So after saying that all the other nations are going to be destroyed, Rani v'simchi basion, the daughter of Zion should be happy and rejoice. Kineni Baal, v'shchati v'sochinu Hashem, because now I am coming and I will dwell amongst you over here. So he said a mussel. So Mamo always brings a mussel over here. A merchant arrives in the city with many goods to sell. In the same city, there lived a bunch of his poor relatives who were completely poor. They had absolutely no money whatsoever. He remained in town long enough to sell his merchandise, and right before leaving, he gave each of his relatives a little gift of money. He also paid the innkeeper for his food and lodging by handing him one sum, and then gave him another sum. So he gave him two sums of money, for he said, if I give him the entire sum at once, he's going to think that's a gift, right? And that I'm not paying for my lodging, because I'm giving out gifts to this guy, gift to that guy, gift to that guy, and then all of a sudden I'm giving a little bit of money to the innkeeper, he'll think it's a gift. But I want him to know that this is all payments for the services rendered. So he gave him the money, and then more money, and said, here's the full amount for your stay. So some two over here, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did this, one after the other. Sing and rejoice. There's a double rejoicing over here, because nations will come up one after the other, and then we'll see that the Jews are the Iker one over here. And this will be, eventually will be the Gula Shlema, and the Nebuah will ring true, and everything's like that. On that day, there will be many Goyim that end up joining Klal Yisrael on that day. The word Nilvu, as in the word Leviah. There will be in my nation, and I will dwell amongst you. And you will know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Lord of all hosts, has sent me to you. That's the idea behind it. Okay, so that's that. That was the idea behind it. And it says, oh, some things are referring to that. Pasuk Tet Zayin. Menachem Hashem Yehuda Chelko Ad Masa Kedush. Help me very quickly. Is Yehuda spelled wrong inside the pasuk? You have it that way? You have it as regular Yehuda? So it's just a mistake, I think. Menachem Hashem is Yehuda Chelko Ad Masa Kedush. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will allow Yehuda to inherit their portion among the holy land. And God will choose Yerushalayim. That's an interesting little call over here. If you'll remember, Yerushalayim was really divided up between the Shvatim. And if not divided up between the Shvatim, it was definitely split between Binyamin and Yehuda, the city of Yerushalayim, or at least the place where the Makom HaKodesh was. Here, Yehuda is going to take their land back, and it's going to be entirely his. He's going to be the one in charge. At this point, this is probably the assumption of when there's going to be Kibbutz Golius or Kibbutz Mason, whatever you want to call it, but everything's going to be around Haskol Bosom and Hashem, and every bit of flesh, every person is going to be silent from in front of Hashem. He neor mimon kacho, because that Kodesh Baruch Hu was awakened from his holy dwelling. This is a really nice little mushel over here. There was a teacher of little kids, right? This teacher of little kids fell asleep in the middle of class. There's actually a Rebbe that one of my kids had who was well known for falling asleep in the middle of class. He was a big tzaddik, and he spent all night long. He was in the Chavra Kedisha, and he spends his whole night doing mitzvos. So I talk, this is the one guy that should be a teacher of kids. That's another story. But all the kids knew that if you read in a monotone voice, you'll put the Rebbe to sleep. So there's one time while he was speaking where he had his hand on the smart board, right? And his finger fell on the Z. So on the board, he saw sleeping, and it was just Z, one after the other. They all laughed hysterically. They couldn't stop that. That's when he woke up and he realized what had happened. So he said it like that. Anyway, I still laugh just thinking of that story. It's absolutely hilarious.
It was great that it was a Z.
Absolutely great. So either way, when the teacher falls asleep for a moment in class, all the kids leave their seats and they start to play games. But as soon as he wakes up, they run back to their seats. They're afraid of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. By analogy, all the nations are thinking that God is sleeping and he doesn't really care. As soon as God wakes up, so to speak, as he's Neor Mimon Kodesh, all the nations go back to their seats. They're like, oh, I was on your side the whole time, God. Yeah, I also believe in the Jews. I was on their side. I wanted to help them out. That's the idea. That's the end of days when a Kodesh Baruch Hu, so to speak, is aroused from above. Okay, that's that. Over here, the idea of Chas Kol Basar, that all the sounds are still. There was nothing that was said. There was no human speech. There was no bleeding of animals. Not the roar of anything. The whistling of birds. Everything stops when a Kodesh Baruch Hu speaks. Somehow, there is a famous medrash that at the time of Matan Torah, that's exactly what happened. That everything was silent. And that not even the waves or the wind was working at that moment. How that works, I have no idea physically. But a Kodesh Baruch Hu silenced the whole world with the word Anochi. And that's what happened at that time. So in this way, so too, Lost Level in the Geula, it'll happen in the same way. Okay. Let's see Perikim over here. Now, this gets to the Nebuos that are really really crazy, like really crazy visions that he's able to see.
Who is Yehoshua and where? I mean, is this a future vision?
Yehoshua ben Yotzadok? Yeah, here, this is what it is. By Yaranius Yehoshua Kohen Gadol. I was shown Yehoshua the Kohen Gadol, Yehoshua ben Yotzadok, who became the Kohen Gadol. This Yehoshua ben Yotzadok was the Kohen Gadol of the second base of Mikdash. Now, when exactly? We don't know. Was he the Kohen Gadol in the beginning and then Shimon HaTzadik became Kohen Gadol? Was he the Kohen Gadol after Shimon HaTzadik? Kind of understand.
Maybe he's the Kohen Gadol right now. I mean,
very well could be, even though he's in Bavel or whatever. Yeah, something that's happening in Yerushalayim.
He's in Yerushalayim.
Zechariah is in Yerushalayim now.
Right.
Yeah, but we don't know when this number was said. But let's assume that it's referring to the times when they were in Yerushalayim and everything's happened. So God showed me Yehoshua the Kohen Gadol. Oh, maybe the same Malach Hashem. Yeah.
Is Yehoshua like actually doing this, or is Yehoshua like sleeping? He's like, by the way, this.
No. Zechariah is seeing this in a vision.
A vision, like a fake. Not a fake vision, but you know what I mean.
No, a vision. This never happened. None of this happened.
Yehoshua like, that is so interesting. You had a dream about me and I.
Yeah, that's it. But Yehoshua was not involved with this at all. Yehoshua did not see this vision. So I was shown Yehoshua the Kohen Gadol, Omi L'Sei Malach Hashem, standing in front of a Malach of Hashem. The Satan Omi El Yemino listed no. The Satan, the adversary, was standing at his right side, trying to be a Satan against him. By the way, you think to yourself, well, on his right side, shouldn't that be the side of Chesed? But if you're appearing from a Kodesh Baruch Hu's vision, a Kodesh Baruch Hu's looking at Yehoshua, the right side of Yeshua is God's left. That is the Midas Adin that's applying over here. Now, the Satan was against them. Why was the Satan against them? So Chazal tell us, Yehoshua ben Yotzedek's children married Nachrios, Ishos Nachrios, non-Jewish ladies. Now, we're going to see later on, there are Rishonim that say, absolutely not. They did not marry non-Jewish women, but the wording of Nachrios definitely means that way. Now, throughout Yevamis, you see the word Nachris, and Nachris just means a strange lady that is not fitting, or
so
not befitting. The Pasuk says Nachrios. So therefore, the Pasuk shot means that they're married non-Jewish ladies. The Kasha is, did Yehoshua ben Yotzadok's kids actually marry non-Jewish women? We're going to see there's a Rishon later on that's going to argue with it, but regardless, that's what it seemed to be. Yehoshua ben Yotzadok, we see he had favor in the eyes of the king of Persia. He was the one who was sent back specifically by the king of Persia. Could have been Kores, could have been Darius II, to help rebuild the second base of Mikdash. Now, the Medrash says something crazy. The Gemara brings this down, but the Medrash says it a little bit different. Akav ben Kolaya and Sidkiah ben Messiah were both supposed to be burned in a fire. Now, what did they do? Either they were involved with Kishuv, and they were healing people by black magic, or they had both went up to the daughter of Nebuchadnezzar and asked her to be together with the other person. Akav said, you should be together with Sidkiah. Sidkiah said, you should be together with Akav. She went to her father and said, the Jewish prophets are telling us, they were false prophets, they're telling me that I should be together with either one of them. Does that make any sense to you? Nebuchadnezzar said, no, their God hates us. He calls them in and he says, how could you have said this? He said, that's the word of God. He says, if you say you're saying the word of God, then I should test you like I tested the other prophets, Hanani, Mishael, Azariah. Just like I threw Hanani, Mishael, Azariah into a fire and they survived, I'm going to throw you guys into a fire, we'll see if you survive. He said, it's not fair. They were three, we're only two. So three people would survive, two people won't survive. He said, okay, pick a third. Any third that you want, you can take with you and you can go into the fire. They picked Yehoshua ben Yotzadok. They took him with and they said, we want him to come with us. They knew that he was a tremendous tzaddik and a great king, a great kohen, and they pulled him down. When they were thrown in the fire, Sidkiah and Achab both died immediately. The fire burned them up and they turned into ashes. Yehoshua ben Yotzadok, on the other hand, was saved. I'm sorry? Yehoshua ben Yotzadok was saved, but on the other hand, his clothes were singed. When he was taken out, he went to Nebuchadnezzar, and Nebuchadnezzar said, why were your clothes singed? Hanani, Mishael, Azariah didn't have their clothes singed. And he said, the reason why my clothes are singed is because you put me in with Rishayim. They were all with Tzadikim. They were unaffected. I was with Rishayim, so therefore I was affected. That's one line. And that's what we're going to see. He was picked out of the fire in Pasuk Beis. Vayomer Hashem al HaSatan, Yigar Hashem b'chol HaSatan. You tried killing Yehoshua ben Yotzadok. May Hashem, may HaKadosh Baruch Hu rebuke you, the Satan. Yigar Hashem b'chol Bok of Yerushalayim, may God rebuke the one who, or the Hashem who has chosen Yerushalayim will rebuke you. You see that he was a brand who was plucked out from the fire. That's what it refers to over here. Now, why was he thrown into the fire in the first place? Why did that happen? Why did he even get sent? Because I'll tell us the reason why is because of his children. That his children marrying not people, whatever it is. Well, it is in a way. A father always, although you cannot control your children, there is something that's up with your chinuch if your children are marrying non-Jewish.
I think it's fair to say that across the board.
Oh, of course not. But Hashem, and therefore Hashem said it about Yoshua ben Yotzadak. Meaning, even though I can't say that, and I can't look at somebody and say it's your fault in parenting, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu can. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling us that the reason why Yoshua ben Yotzadak, really, why his clothes were singed, not because he was with Rishayim, it's because of his children. And that's what happened over here. That's what it means over here of what had happened. They were soiled because of those sins. It could be that it's his fault for not making the macha the way that he should have. It could be that he did something that was earlier that was around. Either way, something like that. What were you going to say?
The guy just said that it's weird that he so confidently answered about why he's
going to answer
sin. Or sin.
I never thought of that, but that is a good call. Why was that specifically done? I don't know. That's a good call. That's a good call. I don't know why. Either way, that's the idea behind what happened over here.
If he were to say something about himself, okay, fine, but he's saying something about other people. So.
Trying to get through. I hear you. Where is... Oh, here. I remember. It's in Ezra. In Ezra, we see that Yoshua ben Tzadok, and Yotzadok is known as Yeshua, which is actually, by the way, as a side note, that is the real name of Yashua. Yashua's really name is Yeshua, supposed to be Yoshua. So the kasha is, so why did Yoshua ben Yotzadok lose out on that hay? And once again, it's for the same reasoning. He didn't give Musa the way he was supposed to. He didn't tell his children to stay away from the non-Jewish woman. Not here in Ezra, Bays. Right? So because of that, it's a problem. But either way, regardless, that's supposed to be, that's the idea behind it. You know, it's funny. Do you remember what happened when Aaron first served in the base of Mikdash, in the Mishkan, on the Mizbeach? Why he was scared and he wouldn't go forward, and Moshe had to tell him to go forward?
As another than a view.
No, before, after that, there were horns that poked out from the Mizbeach, and he saw it as if it was an eagle, and he saw the eagle Azov right in his face, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, and Moshe Rabbeinu was told Aaron, that's why you were chosen, that through the eagle Azov you were zocha to become greater. Now what does that mean? What's the kasha? Obviously there's something that Aaron must have done correctly. It could be through tshuva that he did afterward. It could be that, honestly, do you think Aaron was the one engraving gold at the age of 83 and then throwing it, or he might have asked people, somebody else did it and he just didn't make him a call? Who knows what was really going on behind the scenes? But Aaron was chosen after the eagle Azov. That's when he was chosen to be the Kohen. Something happened at that point. I remember there's a Chassam Sofer on it somewhere. It said, that's why you were chosen. Lakach Nivcharta is the wording of Rashi. That's why you were chosen through what you did by the Eagle Azov in some way, shape, or form. It's amazing. That's the beginning of the Mishkan. Over here, Yoshua ben Yotzadok says the same thing. This is what happens. When he first served in the Beis HaMikdash, something went wrong. There was something wrong with what was happening, and he wasn't able to go in some way. That something was going on. His clothes were burned. His clothes were dirty. Something like that. And nonetheless, he ended up serving in front of the Beis HaMikdash. It's an interesting little call. As a side note, by the way, this pasuk by Yomer Hashem al Sultan Yigar Hashem b'chal Sultan, you might recognize from Kriyash Malamita. It's one of the pesukim that we add on during Kriyash Malamita. Is brought in as well. It's supposed to be high praise for Yoshua ben Tzadok. Yoshua, your lovish begotten son. Yoshua was wearing dirty garments. Again, this is what Zechariah is seeing in his vision. But Omid Lifnei HaMalach, and he was standing in front of the angel wearing this. Again, the sin was on the outside. Inside, he's a tremendous tzaddik. It could be that the dirty garments refer to the spiritual condition of the people at the time. There is no question, the word levush is used extensively in Kabbalistic works. And it could be that there's something else going on behind the scenes that we're just not privy to. We don't know that idea.
That singed clothing looks like dirty garb because the singed part of the clothing looks dirty to the...
Correct. That's for sure what it was. No, 100%. They looked dirty, meaning it was referring to the singed garments from that fire that's over there. It could be that maybe Yoshua's sons who married those women, maybe the women were not wearing proper clothing and the clothing was affected by him. That's a possibility as well. Yeah.
Story with the Muhammad, that's a midrash.
It's a Gemara as well. The Gemara says it the way I said it, that they had tainted, they had asked.
Where's the Gemara?
Green notebook. I'll find it for you later. I have it over there. Do you have it in there? Which one is it? Sanhedrin, Sadi Gimel, Medallah. Yeah, that's that. Sanhedrin, Sadi Gimel. Right, but it's also brought down in the Medrash Rabbah, and it says it a little bit differently. It says that they were doing magic. Bayan. He answered back, and he said to the people in front of him, right, to those staying in front of him, this is the Malach, Lamor, saying, take off these dirty clothes from Yoshua ben Yotzadok. Now he's a son of I've taken away from you your sin, and I put on top of you, I put on nice robes instead. And that's the idea. In other words, remove the clothes. Maybe remove yourselves from those wives. Take away those wives, and when you do that, then everything will be clean.
Directing criticism to the wrong person. You know, maybe, okay, fine. He doesn't mean, but like, what is he supposed to do now? Is
maybe Yeshua ben Yotzadak had the possibility of separating them, and he did. He would have done it. Maybe he did it, and that's exactly what separated them. Remember, Ezra did tell the people to do that. Perhaps Yeshua ben Yotzadak was also instrumental in taking off those dirty clothes, so to speak, and having them remarry, etc. Also, being clothed in festive robes right afterward means that they should get remarried immediately. If they're going to divorce their wives, they should not be without wives for a long period of time. Get them dressed immediately. In other words, get them married off again.
What's another explanation for this?
I don't have one.
Really?
Everything was based on the wife.
It's weird that they take like just the Kohen Gadol and just his family. It seems like it'd be something more broad. Like the lesson would be a little bit bigger.
I mean, if that was the big thing at the time and people were marrying non-Jewish women, that would be a huge lesson. And to separate. Maybe that's where Ezra
the murder.
The
Kohen Gadol to separate. Like, I'm not a Kohen Gadol. I'm like one of the guys.
So that everybody should know. You know, in the same way that Shmuel Hatzad, Shmuel Akapa, when Rabbi Yehuda Nasi smelled something that smelled like garlic in his shear, and told him that Rabbi Chiya got up and everybody followed him because they didn't want to. When Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai came in to be, Ma'abra the Shunin, and he said, somebody doesn't belong here. And Shmuel Akapa got up and left, so everybody else got up and left, right? So, I mean, there could be that he was saying, if the Kohen Gadol needs to know this, then everybody else should know it as well. But I don't have another shot. I don't have anything else on it. Bolnar. And then I said, right, this again, this could be referring to the Malach. So Yesivu Tzanit Tahor al Rosha, put a nice, a pure crown on top of that. Tzanit could also be a type of, Tzanit is a what?
A turban.
Mitre is a crown, right? But it could be a turban, yeah, like a nice little thing covering on top of his head. Yesivu Tzanit Tahor al Rosha, they put it on the Abishul Begadim, they put on the clothing of Malach Shem Omi while the Malach Bashem stood by. Perhaps this refers to the crown on the head is referring to pure thoughts. In other words, to purify your thoughts. No longer can you be thinking of other things when you're serving the Beis HaMikdash. Vayod Malach Hashem Yeshua Lemo. And the Malach Hashem then forewarned Yeshua saying the following. Again, this is Zechariah watching everything, seeing it happen. You go on my ways, you keep my charges, in other words, all my mitzvahs. If you judge my house, apparently he was a dying as well. And you keep my chotzer, in other words, you keep it safe and you keep it tahor. I will make you, people will be going between those that are standing. The ones that are standing are those that are not growing. They're staying in place and they're not going any further. I will make you mahalkin. I'll make you in a state where you're going to keep going, where you're growing, where you're getting even better, even greater from where you're over there. That's the idea. There's going to be an elevation, something that's going to be even more so, and you'll keep growing and growing and growing. That's the idea behind it. Shema no Yoshua, right? Shema no Yoshua Kohen Gadol. Atav Reyecha Yoshua Lefanecha. You and your friends that are sitting in front of you, Kianchen Mokes Hema. All of you are men of miracles. It must be referring to Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah. Kimi maybe is Abdi Tzemach. I will bring my servant Tzemach, the one that will bloom. I am going to bring my servant who is going to be referring to Mashiach, the one that is a blooming shoot, something that comes from the ground and shoots up rapidly as it goes through. So you're going to be ready. Now remember, we said before, it's possible that Zerubbabel was the possibility of being Mashiach. There are those that say that Zerubbabel was Nechemiah ben Chachlia, right? It could be Zerubbabel was somebody else entirely, but he was definitely from the Davidic line. And it's possible that this is the reference that they were saying, I am going to allow Zerubbabel to be the Mashiach if he so chooses. Unfortunately, it didn't happen that way. Nothing. There were too many sins of Klal Yisrael and it didn't happen. But nonetheless, the idea, you have to be a great, great, great person and you have to really, really want it. You know what I'm saying? In other words, the abilities are by you. But it also takes a lot of work from you, and not everybody can do it. You make a bad decision, like Bar Kokhba did, and I'm not saying Bar Kokhba was Mashiach, but in theory, somebody like Bar Kokhba, then all of a sudden, you lose the ability to be the Mashiach by everybody.
That sounds a little political. I'm not saying that it might, but if you...
Yeah, well, I mean, I think that's really what Rabbi Akiva meant. I think that takes a little bit of work. Rabbi Akiva never said he is the only Mashiach. He has the possibility of being Mashiach, if he chooses.
I wonder
but
if they had more discussions around 1600 or Shafet Tzvi. I'm not saying that he is.
Of course. Yeah, no, for sure they did, because the Taz was the one that came out against it. Taz was the biggest one, because he said he saw his eating habits and said that's not what Mashiach would be like. Taz sent messengers over to go watch Shabbat Tzvi, and when he saw what he ate like, they sent messengers back to Taz, says it's not him. It was a big machlok, they were gedolim, like a normal human being, like whatever, not the way you expect a gavul to eat. And when the Taz saw that, he said, that shows me he's not Mashiach. Listen, I'm sure there were Dolan that held the other way.
Oh, there
sure, there
was a
Dolan.
Big fight.
Yeah, it's a big Shiloh. We don't have number, you know, we don't have the people itself. There were lots of Shilohs, but who knows? Who absolutely knows, you know, when you deal with stuff like this. Plus, it says, though, he says, this stone that I'm putting in front of Yoshua, now this is referring to the stone in the foundation of the Beis HaMikdash, on this stone, there are going to be seven eyes. Now, what does that mean? There are seven eyes? There are going to be, it could be that the number seven is just an important number because that's how many days are created in the world, etc. It could be like that, and it's just stop. It's a number that was chosen, but it could have been anything. It could be it's referring to seven leaders, right? The seven leaders that were around. In Zechariah, we do mention a bunch of people that there were, you know, let's say Hanani, Mishael, Azariah, Ezra, Hasopher, Nehemiah, Zerubbabel, Yoshua, and so on. You know, you could have had seven altogether. Of course, it could be referring to Zerubbabel, Nehemiah, Ezra, Chag, Zechariah, Malachi, and obviously here, Yoshua ben Yotzadok. Others say the seven refer to the seven Avos, that there were seven Avos, right? Avram, Yisrael, Yaakov, and the 40 Mahos that went together, and that was the reference over here.
This was after the story of Purim. Wouldn't Mordechai be one of the leaders?
You know, the Gemara asked the question. Yeah, at the very end of the Pasuk, the Gemara Megillah says what happened to Mordechai. Ratzli l'rov Ekov, right? And he was not like, the Gemara says, the Darshan, that he was not liked by the Sanhedrin for what he did.
Rov Ekov, though. I mean, eventually the Sanhedrin must have liked him because they
put him on. Ezra, he did put him on. There's no question, because Ezra put on Mordechai onto their list. He was number 6 or number 8, whatever it was. But the Gemara Darshan said he was Ratzel Rov Achav, so I guess he wasn't big enough. I know that. Right? You got to remember, you're dealing with Mordechai was one of 15 Nevi'im that were alive at the time. It is a little crazy.
Where do we see the Navi?
From Esther. From Esther. The Gemara says Mordechai and Esther are both Nevi'im. They give rise.
I thought just Esther.
No, Esther for sure was one of the seven Nevi'os. But Mordechai is mentioned because of what he knew. I don't remember if it was that he knew what had happened with Haman and Ahasuerus. The Gemara gives like 6 riyas that he was a Navi.
I thought that was Esther who knew that what happened.
That's another thing. No, that not Bigs and Seresh.
No, that he heard.
Not Bigs and Seresh. I'm sorry. Not what happened with, because Esther found out from Mordechai what had happened with Haman and Ahasuerus.
Right.
So how did he hear? So one of the Drushan in the Gemara is from there.
But how did he hear? I mean,
no, but this is the Gemara.
A decision issued by
the Gemara says, Mordechai was a Navi and brings 4 or 5 riyas. Forgot what it was. One of them is this. One of them was that he knew what was going on behind the palace. Oh, another one. For the fact that it says Mayan Haman Belibo. That was another one that was
for
Mordechai. No, one not for Esther. For Mordechai was one. All right, so we have that. So there were riyas for Mordechai himself. The Gemara says how we know Mordechai. And he's listed in the 48 Nevi'im by the Rabbeinu Hanano on the side of the Daf in Megillah. When it mentions 48 Nevi'im and 7 Nevi'os, the 48 Nevi'im is a list. So Mordechai Bilshon is on top of that. He's mentioned on top of that. So he was definitely enough. So there were other Nevi'im. I mean, well, there. Daniel was the one who wasn't enough. He obviously didn't have it.
The whole book of visions.
He was not required to say it over to Klal Yisrael. It's Megillah Daf Gimel. Right? He had visions. He was able to see things that the others weren't able to see. But on the other hand, he had no requirement to tell it over to the people.
Where do we see that Mordechai had a requirement to tell over?
Megillah's Esther. Not only written by Esther, it was written by Mordechai and Esther.
No, but I understand. But where does it say that? It says, where do they say that? Hashem told them, write this down in
Kapasik, in Megillah. I forgot what the pasuk is. To write it down and make it.
I
just remember another one. Kimu v'kiblu. Another one. I don't remember. I don't remember. But that's something the Gemara does go through. He's the only one that was Ruach HaKodesh. That's for sure. But not in a Ruach. To be a Navi, you have to tell something over to Klal Yisrael. He didn't tell anything over to Klal Yisrael. He wrote down the vision.
How come we don't
have
to do a Ruach HaKodesh? Surely the crazy stuff that Daniel said. Like, oh, and then I saw this.
I don't mean to say it this way, but like, let's say, right, that we didn't have like stories about the Baba Sali. The Baba Sali, we don't have any sparm from him. So like, one of those people would have been lost in the annals of history.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like 100 years from now, people will probably have no idea who the Baba Sali is because he didn't have any sparm. I'm sure there were people like that. Hundreds. All right, now we have bad biographies, right. But hundreds of people were probably like that. Ruach HaKodesh people. I'm sorry? Official. I don't think so. Yeah. But they have biographies on him. Remember, the only sparm that he had, he refused to print.
I thought that those were there were people that few.
The Bava Sali also burned. I mean, burned most of his writings after he wrote them, which is crazy. But like that, deal with the Bava Sali, you know. So like, what do you do with stuff like that? All right, Nunu, and the Abu Chatzera name will probably last forever. I'm not worried about that so much. Either way, I will engrave its inscription on the Kodesh Baruch Hu and I will remove the sins from the land on that day where those seven are working together and going together. On that day, says the Kodesh Baruch Hu, every one of you will invite your fellow to come under the fig and to come under the geffen, under the grapevine. In other words, everybody's going to be involved and there will be such a, everybody will be involved in. You won't have to worry about anything. You won't have to worry about like people being jealous or people taking from other people. Everybody's going to work together and be together. Now, here we go. Tarek Dalet. Yashav HaMalach Dover B. The Malach that spoke to me came back. And he woke me up as if I was being woken up from his sleep. Now, remember, Zechariah was still sleeping. He's seeing this Nevuah, right, in a trance of a state, which clearly was while he was sleeping. In his vision, he was so absorbed by what he had just seen that the Malach had to take him out, rouse him from where he was, and say, listen, there's another vision that you have to think about now. There's another vision that's coming up over here. It could be that the Malach Mamish woke him up and then put him back to sleep. That's a possibility as well. Others say this is just a morning dream, and morning dreams are supposed to have mamashes to them. Now, that doesn't apply nowadays, where people sleep in into the morning itself, past Vatikin. This would be for the last couple hours of the night, according to the Marshan Brachos, in which real dreams are being said, but that's only if you go to sleep in the beginning of the night. The first 3 hours of dream, 4 hours of dreams are dreams like a donkey. You think about the physical work they have. The next 4 hours of dreams are tuma dreams, the dog dreams, so to speak. And the next 4 hours are the baby nursing from the mother, which the Marsha takes to mean kadosh dreams that are being told to you, suckling, so to speak, from the mother, from the Shekhinah, giving you what you need to know for the day. Unfortunately, we don't have dreams like that nowadays. Perhaps not too many people have these types of dreams, but regardless, those are the ones that are out there. So here's what he had. He had to be awakened, so to speak. Perhaps it's also remnants of Bnei Yisrael being awakened. That could be as well. But Yom Rei Mato Roa, what do you see? Said the Malach. The Omar, and I said, Ra'isi v'nei menorah zov kula v'gula roshas. Everybody knows this Nebuah. We have it during the Haftorah of Hanukkah. I see a menorah, and Baloso as well. Thank you. The menorah made of gold. The gula al rosha. And then there's a bowl on top of its head. The Shiva Nerosel of Shiva Shiva. And there are seven lamps to it with seven pipes. The Shiva Musakos Laneros Hashal Rosha. And there were seven sort of, I guess you could say, I don't know how to word this over here, tubes that went through. So that's that. Shiva Musakos Laneros Hashal Rosha that was all together on top of it. That's what he was seeing over here. Now he saw this, but he couldn't describe what he was seeing. There were two olive trees on the side. One on the right side of the bowl, one on the left side of the bowl. Okay, the bowl was able to go through, which is kind of cool that the oil was being squeezed, so to speak, from the olive trees going straight down into the bowl. The bowl was going through these tubes to constantly replenish the oil that was being used up in the menorah. As it was being lit, there was sort of like this machinery that allowed it to always be lit. Now again, this is a nevuah. I don't know if this ever happened or if they ever had a machinery like that in the base of Mikdash. At least we don't know about it, right? But it possibly could be that that's what they did. So I answered, I said to the Malach, who was speaking to me, and I said, what's going on here? I don't know what this is. He said to me, don't you know what these are? And I said, no, I don't. So in other words, you should be on the level, Zechariah, to be able to define this on his own. But Zechariah was not on the level, and he said, I don't see it clear enough. I'm not sure what it means. Said to me to say the following. This is what it means. The word of God came to Zerubbabel, saying, you will not be able to win any wars by your might nor by your power. Rather, I will be able to do it myself, says the Kodesh Baruch Hu. You think, Zerubbabel, that you're going to have to fight the Ammonim and the Moabim to gain access to the base of Mikdash again. You think you're going to have to beg or cajole Darius II to allow you to build the second base of Mikdash. Not so. You won't need it whatsoever. I will take care of everything. You won't even need guards in the area because you think that the people are going to come up against you and destroy the base of Mikdash. Don't worry about anything, says the Kadosh Baruch Hu. I am going to take care of it. And this refers, the lampstead, the way that he's learning it right now is referring to the Jewish people that are adhering themselves to the Torah, that they're doing everything. The bowl on top is referring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, giving them the shepherd that they need to be able to survive. The seven lamps refer to the seven shepherds of the Jewish people, whether it refers to obvious Yaakov and the four Emos, or it's referring to seven other people that were just the leaders of Christ, or you want to say. And then there are seven Nesichim all together, right, with Mashiach ben David on top of everybody else, right, they say that. The two olive trees are possibilities of Yosef Mashiach ben Yosef Mashiach ben David. Whatever it means HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, I am going to take care of you. I'll make sure everything gets taken care of. You won't have to worry about anything whatsoever. Everything is going to be perfectly fine over here. And that's that. What else do we have over here? There's a couple. I'm going to light it up for you. The reason why the menorah is being lit up, so that everything is going to be lit up for you. Everything's going to be there. But everything's going to be taken care of, and that's that. Miyato HaRagadol. Who are you, you great mountain? Now, some say that the HaRagadol refers to all the great nations that were coming up against the Jews to fight them. Libnei Zerubbabel. In front of Zerubbabel, let me shore. You'll be made into a plain ground. You'll be knocked down from your heights. Votzias Aven Arosha. He will bring out the headstone, in other words, the stone that's being used as the cornerstone of the Beis Hamikdash. Chuos. They'll call out loud, Chein Chein La, with grace, the beauty of the Beis Hamikdash will be shown once you end up having this over here. So that's that. I'm sorry? That is the end of it? Wow, that was short. It was only this short. Yeah? It was just this. Which part? You know what? I think just Sfardim hold that. I think Sfardim and early.
It's still short.
It doesn't run even. You know what? Just grab that finish right over there. Let's see very quickly.
No, yeah, right.
Oh, it's not. Wait, it's not. Yeah.
Where does it go in silver? Is it a great
paper?
Oh, it does?
Yeah. Short.
Oh, so it's just, it starts. Oh, at the end of May.
Oh, that's when it started today. Oh, so I didn't realize. I thought there was in Gimel.
Yeah, I was confused when you said it's so short. It's like...
Oh, no. So it's probably about 20 pesukim. Haftorah is supposed to be 20 pesukim, but not always like that.
Yeah, you regardless.
Have Torahs that are like, never end.
And there are three of them that are like that, where you guys just end. The one that's the like longest, Chayisara, I think. Chayisara, I think, is about 40 pesukim.
You guys have the
Shalach is also huge, right?
We just did this year.
Yeah, we do the whole thing with that.
Also, this week you guys have a long one, I think.
You know this is
what Rehav Torah is like.
Got nothing to do. You think he doesn't work all day? It's what he does. Baruch Hashem. All right, here we go. But that's that. Others say, by the way, that the HaRagadol refers to Mashiach. That Mashiach is going to be leveled out so that the people will see him and will be upright, bringing the people up with him, etc., and stuff like that. But so others say it's referring to Gog. Some say it's referring to Adam Shasiah. He's going to take care of it regardless. That's that. But Yidvar Hashem Elai Lamor, the word of God came to me saying in Pasuk Ches over here, Yidei Zerubbabel Yisduah Baizazeh, the hands of Zerubbabel have founded this house, the other Tzvatana, and his hands are going to complete it. And at that point, you will know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was sent to it. So when the angel saw Zerubbabel was not entirely satisfied with what he had answered him, he said, all right, let me explain to you. It's a little bit more than just that. Zerubbabel is going to start this house. He's going to complete it. And once that happens, then you'll know that he has the possibility. Once again, as we said before, it's possible that Mashiach is going to be Zerubbabel himself, but otherwise Mashiach is going to stem from Zerubbabel. But that it's going to work out well.
Oh, Ezra coin.
Ezra was a coin, good. Yeah, coin. Coin Gadol.
Yoshua is a coin Gadol.
Yoshua was definitely a coin Gadol. And so was Shimon HaTzadik. When was Ezra? If Ezra was the coin Gadol at some point?
Shimon was later.
But it would have been a little bit later. So possibly one of them was at one point, one of them was at the other point. And guess when we get to Ezra, maybe we'll see. Kimi Vaz Leon Ketanais. Who despises the small things of this day? In other words, because the second base of Mikdash was very small. They weren't able to make so many things out of it. Remember, in Chagai, he told them, just cut down wood. Start making something. Do whatever you can. So people were making fun of it. They're like, oh, this wasn't like the first one. Remember the gold and the silver and the diamonds and everything. Who cares? The Somkul Ro is the Evan Abedil B'di Abad Zerubbabel. Everybody should be happy when they see the plummet stone. That's the one they use. And the answer is Zerubbabel. Shiva Eile Enei Hashem. Right? Those seven are the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Meshotim B'chol Aretz. They range over the whole land. Those are the seven eyes that they put on the stone itself. If you don't remember, that's what it refers to over there. Okay, yet again we have a bit of a muscle, a very, very nice muscle. I like this one a lot also. A man traveled on business to a distant place, and upon his return, he bought a gold watch that he was going to give to his son. A really, really nice golden watch. You said to him, I have a gift for you. It's not a very large gift, but it's going to find favor in your eyes. You're really going to like it. Tomorrow, I'm going to give it to you. So the next day, right, the entire day, the son was so happy. Wow, I can't wait to see it. I can't wait to see it. Right? And that's the next day, when he looked at the gift and he saw the golden watch, he was shocked. He's like, holy cow. He's like, you call this a small present, Dad? This is an unbelievable present. I didn't expect anything this big. Holy cow.
What did he get?
The gold watch. Holy cow is a phrase that's used by Harry Carey back in the 80s and the 90s, describing a good thing that the Cubs did, which is not very often. But regardless, right, it was that.
I remember the team in Andre Dawson.
Right, 1984, 1989, maybe. Right, but aside from that, right, what's going on? Why would you do this to me? So the father said, listen, anybody who gets a gift is going to be delighted, and they're going to have it just for a short period of time. They're going to say to themselves, like, oh, wow, and then after a while, you get used to it, and everything's over there. I wanted to extend the amount of simcha that you had. So first, I told you I'm getting you a gift. You were so happy just about the gift itself. And then I showed you what the gift was. See, they're even more happy. I just extended your simcha a little bit further, and that's the idea behind it. So to over here, the first time, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told them they should just build it. But they didn't expect more than just a modest structure. They expected it to be small, and that was going to be it, and that's that. When they finished, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed Darius to put in all the money into it, and they saw this huge, magnificent structure that they never imagined they'd be able to make, they're like, holy cow, we weren't promised this. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, yeah, I wanted to give you something nice. So that's the idea behind it. That's what the mashal is. And then I answered and I said to him, fine, you explained the menorah, but you didn't explain the olive trees. What's up with the olive trees? I get the bowl, I get the oil going through, and Klal Yisrael, I get that Hashem is taking care of all of Klal Yisrael, and we're going to be protected, everything we're taking care of. What's the two olive trees on the side? What does that mean over there? You mean a menorah of Al-Smola on the right and the left hand side. And then I said another question. I said to him, as I don't know what the olive branches are that are right by those two golden spouts, azov, hamarikim me'alem azov, that empty the golden oil out of themselves. In other words, I don't get the pipes as well. I get the bowl and I get the menorah, but you could just pour from the bowl into the menorah. What's the point of those pipes as well? Don't you know what this is? No, I don't know. I have no idea. These are the two anointed sons who stand by the master of the entire world. Kashan, who this is referring to? Most likely this is referring to Mashiach, meaning the Mashiach ben David, and the Kohen Gadol who will be in charge at the end of days.
Let's go through the whole contraption now.
Well, hold on. So both of them are anointed by the Shemin HaMishcha, the Kohen Gadol and the Mashiach ben David, and therefore, since they're both anointed with Mashiach, they represent the two olive trees that Hashem has. Now, it could be that it's referring to the king, right, whoever the king is going to be, and the Kohen Gadol at the time. It also could be it's referring to Mashiach and Eliyahu HaNavi. I don't know if that's much of a stira, because it could be that Eliyahu HaNavi is the Kohen Gadol.
Mashiach doesn't get anointed, because David HaMelech got anointed, and that was it for everybody, wasn't it?
Perhaps there will be sveikos. I don't know. You get anointed only when you have something that goes on.
Even didn't the Gemara say that if there's something, you put what's it called? The balm oil or something? Was it called? The harsimon or something?
That was only done by the kings of Israel.
Right, no, that I know. But I thought by the Mahu's Yehuda, David HaMelech got the real one.
You are correct. Wait, hold on. No, because Shlomo Melech also got it. He got the Shemin HaMishcha as well.
Real Shlomo HaMishcha?
Yeah, so did Yoshia. Remember when Yoshia had the whole suffix? He also got the oil.
Are you sure that was real? I thought it was, why did Yoshia have the suffix? He was a brother.
The mother. What's her name? They're taking over. Asalia.
No, that was Yoash.
Oh, Yoash.
Yeah.
Yoash had it.
So, meaning it wasn't suffering. Maybe people...
when there's issues, something comes up. So, perhaps Mashiach ben David, when he first comes up, he also needs it. It isn't that it's called Noah. So, if we look at the contraption again, the bowl, right, takes in from the, I guess you could call it the schus of Mashiach and Yosef, and allows that schus to go through the pipes to eventually go through and fill up the menorah, which is Klal Yisrael, to give them what they need. That it's never, everything is lit up and everything is given to them. So through the means of the bowl, which is a HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or the Shechina, whatever you want to call, he allows the Shefa from both the Mashiach ben David and the Kohen Gadol to be able to go through and fill out what Klal Yisrael needed.
Be careful with this,
permission to speak. This is the stuff that they really get into, because now you really understand like what the world is about. Okay, anyway, that's the idea behind it. We're now starting Perek Hey. I don't know if we'll be able to finish, but let's see what we can do over here. Let's see what we have. So I lifted up my eyes, and look, I saw a flying scroll. There was something that was referring to a punishment that was going to happen to the rest of the people itself. Now, Targum Yonasan, in other words, yeah, we're going to say like Echo was written down in the punishments. Now, if you look at Targum Yonasan, it says actually it was a literal scroll that he was able to see. Others say he wasn't seeing a scroll. He just saw a lot of punishments coming in. And it was as if it was all written on a scroll itself. And it was as if there was something right there in front of him. That's the idea behind it. Okay, either way, but it's referring to the destruction and things that were going to happen, bad things that were going to be itself. Now, what do you see? I see a Megillah that is flying. This Megillah is 20 amos long, 10 amos wide. Right? Now, that's a huge scroll. We're talking about 30 feet by 15 feet, which obviously is an absolute massive size altogether. Happens to be, that's also the dimensions of the Kodesh HaKadoshim in the Beis HaMikdash. Right? 20 by 10 was the actual amount that was supposed to be like that. 10 amos wide, 20 amos long, right, that was supposed to be over here. Now, this is the oath, the curse, so to speak, that goes out upon the face of the entire earth. Gonev mizeh kamoa. For anyone, everyone who is stolen, mizeh kamoa nika. From this, he will become cleansed. Okay, so he's going to be like as if he's cleansed. But on nishba mizeh kamoa nika. And anybody sworn falsely will also is going to be cleansed from the punishments that are involved in this scroll itself. This is going to be some type of affliction that's going to apply for everybody on the earth itself. Everybody is going to be cut off from the different sins that people have had. And that's the idea behind it of what's going to happen. This, so to speak, what's going to happen over here. Now, I brought it out, says the Kodesh Baruch Hu, a bowl based on Ganav, and it will come to the house of the Ganav. They'll base a nishba b'shmila shakar in the house of the one who swore falsely. But lena b'sof beso, it will stay inside his house. V'chilatu, and it will destroy him. That's etzav ezavonav, and not only him, but also his stones and the wood of the house itself. It's going to knock down everything he has. Meaning, it's something that once a person starts getting involved with these types of things, it's very hard for him not to destroy himself from what had happened. His house is knocked down, means he himself is destroying himself from within. So to speak, his psyche is knocked down from what happens over here. That's how the Amlo, he learns it over here. And that's the idea. The only way to get them is to cleanse them of their punishments, cleanse them of their sins, right, to get rid of it completely. That's the idea behind it. Now, lift up your eyes again, and I want you to see what's going to go forth. So look at what's going to happen over here. The Omar Mahi, I said, what is it? This is a certain measure that's called an epha that goes out. And then the Malach said, this is their eye in the entire land. Okay, so we saw like an epha. What an epha means is that the people were cheating the other people. Instead of giving an honest epha and selling them a certain amount, they were doing a little bit less, a little bit more. People were cheating with one another. They were not using the measurements for good. They were using the measurements for falsehood and for something bad. And things did not work out well the way it was supposed to be. The eye that refers to over here refers to people having ayin haras on what everybody else had. Everybody looking at each other, hating each other, and having this baseless, this sinas chinam against everybody else that was around there, hating what everybody was doing. That's the idea behind it. I guess this might have been a predecessor for what was going to be in the second base of Mikdash, where everything was destroyed because of sinas chinam. And behold, there was a bread, a loaf of bread, mises, that lifted up into the sky. And then I saw a woman that was sitting inside the epha measure. This woman was a person who was sitting and cheating. A woman who nobody suspected of doing anything wrong. But because she was never suspected, and everybody just assumed, you're doing everything all right, right, old lady? And everybody was fine. She was the one cheating. She was the one making sure that everything was there, so to speak, as if putting stones inside the bread she was selling. So that the bread weighed the amount that people were buying for it. But it wasn't fully bread. There was stuff inside there. They said, he said, the Malach said, this is the wickedness. This represents the evil that people were doing. Therefore, he threw her inside the middle of the eva. And the stone of lead went into her mouth. Meaning, now, this is her punishment. That she no longer is going to be heard or seen from everybody else. I guess it means that they'll be destroyed completely and hidden from sight. That nobody's going to be able to see or hear from them whatsoever. Okay, the Radak seems to say that this is referring to the exile of the 10 tribes. That's weird though, because it happened like 150 years ago, and it makes no sense to refer to right over here by Mount Zechariah when everything was already done, even the regular Bnei Yehuda had been exiled. So I lifted up my eyes again, and I saw, there were two women that came forth. There was sort of a wind that came through their wings. Their wings were like the wings of a stork. Now, I don't really know if the chassida is a stork. That's how they translate it, but I'm not so sure it's actually a stork. They lifted up the epha measure between the land and between the sky. They were huge, and they were able to carry it from one place to another. Where are they bringing that epha? What in the world is going on with this epha? What's happening? Are you lying? Pasuk Yud Aleph from the last pasuk over here. Livnos Labayis Baris Shinar. They are building a house in the land of Shinar, Bahuchon. And when it is prepared, Unichasham Al Mechunta. They will set it down on top of its base over here. This refers to Bnei Yisrael, where they were living in Babel itself, and where they were doing. That since they had all the wickedness and the Averus that they had done and they were continuing to do, they were going to stay in Galus and they weren't going to be able to leave. Even the people that were allowed to leave, many people were, so to speak, convinced by God that they wouldn't think about leaving and making Aliyah with the rest of the people because they weren't ready to come into the land of Israel and to keep doing their sins again and again and again. Those two women, by the way, could be that it's referring to two different types of midos. Gaiva, that's arrogance, and Chanifa, which is flattery, that they were using, and they came down into the world and they were able to bring up this idea and bring it into, I guess, back to Babel, and that there would be gaiva and flattery would be something that wouldn't be found in Eretz Yisrael, but it was found in Babel, and it remained that way. Okay, that's the idea behind it. There is a Gemara in Kiddushin that says that there were 9/10 of gaiva that came down to the world, and 10 measures of gaiva that came down to the world, and 9/10 were taken by Elam, which is a city near Persia, right near the Babylonian border. It could be referred to over here.
Why does he use an aphon, not like... Why this specific metaphor for the Jews coming from Babel and coming to Israel?
That's a good question. It probably is mentioned by the Radak, but it doesn't say it over here. Do you have anything inside there? Does it say anything regarding Esau itself? Why it says specifically that? It says specifically they use dishonest Esau measure.
Maybe Esau because it's a symbol of dishonesty?
I wonder why an Esau, though. I guess maybe the word apho means where is it? In other words, like, does anybody actually see what's going on? I don't know. Okay, but that's what ends up happening over here. We're done with this parak.
Maybe it'll leave the dishonest people there and only the honest people should come.